Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday, thank goodness. How you doing, little buddy?
I'm good, Crudy. Happy Friday to you, Evan, doing the hard work on the board, and to our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday.
If you're a new friend, a new listener, you just found the greatest radio show ever. But let me tell you, our Friday tradition, it's airing of the grievances. You know, sort of Festivus style.
Yeah.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
And now you're going to hear about it.
And we will take your phone calls all day long. Your grievances, sort of a open line Friday concept. Lots of shows do it. We do it just a little better at 844-967-2789. Also, Dom, our 5 o'clock happy hour guest, Maggie Dawn.
Yeah.
Nobody does it better than Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, Dawn of the Resistance. I wish that was still a thing. It will be in the happy hour today on the Devil's Advocate. Stick around. Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our good friend, Maggie Dawn. I heard you partied with her last night.
Yeah, a little birthday last night for Maggie. We'll celebrate again tonight, I'm sure.
We will. Dom, I like to, you know, tie the stories in and bring them and make them local if I can. I learned that from my first news director, Sean Dwyer. I understand, still working for Channel 19 ABC in La Crosse.
Good thing you didn't wait to take up that job once he retired.
Yes, I'd still be waiting. I've had a few jobs in between since I worked in the newsroom. But Sean Dwyer always said, take, you know, the most important story and localize it. Unless, of course, the Packers are playing this weekend. Then it leads, you know, meteor hurtling towards Earth. But first, the Packer update.
Right.
But setting aside, you know, we were the Monday Night Football. ABC back then had Monday Night Football. So if the Packers were playing on Monday night, and there was a clear delineation then between the newsroom and the sales department, except if the Packers were playing on Monday Night Football, then all bets were off. There were a lot of blurred lines then. But anyways, localizing it. I'm trying to find a local lead for the audience, Dom, and I can't. I got to talk about Governor Ron DeSantis, this fascist wannabe from Florida. But as you know, I make the assertion he's just following the example of failed wannabe presidential, you know, I guess president, Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin. I've shown you the parallels. But today, in the conduct of Ron DeSantis, I see one more parallel. In these two semi-fascists, Scott Walker, the former gubernator, and Ron DeSantis, the current gubernator and soon-to-be presidential candidate. Looking down to Florida, Dom, DeSantis downplays insurrection and denies responsibility for First Amendment restrictions.
Sounds about right.
Now, we shared some of the coverage from Politico yesterday. Politico says that Ron DeSantis is intimately involved, at least his administration, his office, is helping to craft Republican legislation in Florida that kind of throws out the First Amendment, makes it easier to sue journalists for defamation.
Well, they're going to go through the process of coming up with legislation. I mean, why wouldn't they just create an administrative rule like Scott Walker did here in the state of Wisconsin? You know, to stomp on people's rights. You don't have to go through the whole legislative process. You can be unconstitutional with an administrative rule.
Well, in regards to protesting of Ron DeSantis, that's a parallel. Dom, let me share a little bit, because that's how we're going to tie it into the local former malfeasant governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. Governor Ron DeSantis is denying any responsibility. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar amongst these these Republicans. They deny, I take absolutely no responsibility for anything. He's got that in common with Trump and Walker. Governor Ron DeSantis is denying any responsibility for new Florida restrictions on the First Amendment that ban protest at the state capitol unless groups requesting a permit are sponsored by a state official and their protest, air quotes, Dom, aligns with DeSantis's administration's mission.
You got to get a permit to exercise your First Amendment rights. Wow, that sure sounds familiar here in the state of Wisconsin.
It does, Dom, doesn't it? On Wednesday, DeSantis joked about the January 6, 2021 insurrection while downplaying it as he spoke about the new state policy effectively curtailing the right to protest the government, specifically Ron DeSantis. I read on. I saw a little report. I quote DeSantis, and we're going to play some of the sound. I saw a little report that actually was not something that I was involved in. It didn't necessarily come down from me.
What?
That's the political report that we shared on the air yesterday, Dom.
I saw a little report, the political report, that actually was about something that I was involved with. It didn't necessarily come down from me.
Didn't necessarily, but it did. Andrade, the legislature, the guy that was quoted extensively in the political piece, effectively said, I'm taking direction from DeSantis.
But it didn't necessarily come from me, you know. But yes, it did. Why is he even being coy about it? I mean, and the semi-fascist, or, you know, come on, that's fascist. If you're going to be there's no fascism. It's like being partially pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he wants to be Mussolini. He's just not good at it yet. He's working up to it, Tom. DeSantis told reporters as he stood in front of a very small airplane at a podium with a sign that read, Biden's border crisis. See what he's doing there? That seems like something Donald Trump would do. Only Trump usually had Air Force One, not a small little meager airplane meatball. DeSantis was likely referring to a report in Politico, we know he was, that firmly puts the DeSantis administration behind the new policy. That's generous writing. Firmly puts DeSantis's administration behind the new policy that restricts freedoms guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. There's the semi-fascism part, Dom. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right to of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. The DeSantis administration now requires events held at the Florida State Capitol to align with its mission, a recent change that is sparking concerns that the governor's office is trying to censor events it doesn't like. Does that seem familiar, Wisconsinites?
Oh, man, I'm having a little PTSD flashback in here, man.
The Department of Management Services.
Oh, you mean the Department of Administration, like here in Wisconsin?
Where's Stephanie Marquise? Did she get a job working for DeSantis in Florida? The administration department that oversees state facilities over the past few months has changed the rules, Dom, for groups or individuals who want to reserve space inside the Capitol. The change requires organizations seeking to reserve areas to make their requests through specific administration officials, like Stephanie Marquise, or legislative leaders, you know, like Robin Voss. Well, of course, we're talking about Florida, but I'm just drawing the parallels for the sake of the audience, wondering why I'm throwing these names out there. Or legislative leaders, and required they line up with the mission of the state. Well, who goes and asks the state for permission to protest against the state, Dom? That's, you know, the rage against the machine. You don't ask the machine for permission to rage.
Right. We've learned that here in Wisconsin, right, Crudy? I mean, you were arrested. I was arrested. Hundreds of people were arrested.
Well, let's play fascist, full fascist wannabe.
Full on, baby. Yeah, let's hear DeSantis. The gaslighting from DeSantis.
Still only halfway there. Still a semi-fascist, but let's play it for the people. Gubernator Ron wannabe Scott Walker fascist. Play it.
You know, I saw a little report. That actually was not something that I was involved with. It didn't necessarily come down from me. I think I would imagine that it's just,
really?
You know, you go there and you speak your mind, great, but you'll have some groups that will try to take over capitals, like we've seen in other state capitals.
Like Wisconsin?
And, you know, it's interesting. If they're doing that from the left, then the media says that's democracy in action. They don't say it's an insurrection if you take over, you know, a capital.
No, an insurrection is an insurrection.
But I think that's what it's getting to. And so, you know, we've been very supportive of, you know, people being able to speak their mind. It's their right. They should be able to do it. But we've also said, you know, you don't have a right to hijack and do like a heckler's veto and to stop the functioning of government.
What?
You mean like an insurrection? Something like that? It's not an insurrection if it's the left hijacking a capital. Of course, he's referring to the uprising here in the state of Wisconsin, a completely peaceful undertaking that caused little or no damage, that was the will of the people. And ultimately, Dom, it became a singing protest, as you and I well know. Each and every day, people would go in. These strangers, they became friends, many of them, but they weren't a party, they weren't a group, they were just individuals. And they'd all show up. Those who had the time would go, and they would sing these heartwarming songs. They would lift up the entire Wisconsin Capitol Rotunda. But the songs were protest songs, and they often fashioned words that were anti-Scott Walker.
Mocking the current governor at the time with silly songs that just drove him freaking nuts.
So the former governor became a semi-fascist and put what? Emergency rules into place and had his, what, state patrol, Capitol Police, game wardens show up like stormtroopers and arrest retirees, octogenarian women,
veterans,
over the course of weeks,
journalists. Yes. I mean, that's not semi-fascism, man. That's straight up in your face. Here's the fascism. Boom. How you like me now?
Ron DeSantis, a lot of parallels between him and Scott Walker. And I hated the first, and I surely don't like the second. Come back with us. Hopefully you like both of us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Going to talk about what the former president's up to, Dom. I understand. It's a dance-off, bro. Come back. More Devils. Happy Friday to us all.
Take responsibility. It's the most important thing you can do is to take responsibility.
You are a meathead.
Wanker.
Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain.
Singing when they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
I like sunshine and rain. Rain, give it to Robbie.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. Join us on the phones. Air your grievances. Make your contribution. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to talk about my DJ days in just a minute. Someone's following in my illustrious footsteps. Perhaps a media future in the works for Donald Trump. I hear he's doing Thursday night DJing down at Mar-a-Lago. But we'll get to that in just a minute, and perhaps you can contribute. Because, Dom, we want to know what the audience would perceive to be the best possible, you know, DJ name for Donald Trump, the former president.
What's his performance name? What's his stage name?
We'll get your recommendations and your Friday grievances at 844-967-2789. Want to get back to Meatball Ron DeSantis. The insurrection thing, right? You can't let people take over the Capitol like they did in Wisconsin, is what he's implying. Can't give them the heckler's veto.
Veto, yeah.
Or so he would claim. In fact, he analogizes effectively protest, peaceful protest, as the same as an insurrection. Not for the very first time, Dom. In fact, Meatball Ron DeSantis likes to use that false analogy with some frequency.
Well, that's part of being a fascist. It's the propaganda and the gaslighting.
You want to talk about insurrection? That's a judicial insurrection. Those were the words of Ron DeSantis. In that case, Dom, that bad analogy, that false parallel, was when the draft opinion to overturn Roe v. Wade escaped. And I would suspect probably released by Alito.
Right.
Probably released by a conservative to lock in his colleagues in this very, let's call it, audacious decision that overturned 50 years of precedent. Well, DeSantis called that an insurrection. Know what else he called an insurrection, Dom?
What?
When the actual ruling came out and there were protests. Governor Ron DeSantis says protest outside a Supreme Court justice's house would be considered an insurrection. Third time, any protest to him.
Any protest, yes.
Just the same.
Any protest, airing of the grievances. This is an insurrection right now.
Here is the difference with the Wisconsin uprising. And I know it had to be awfully scary for fascist wannabe Scott Walker. You know, lots of people coming. But here's the difference. They didn't hang Scott Walker. They didn't hang Scott Fitzgerald. They didn't hang Jeff Fitzgerald, then the Assembly Majority Leader. They didn't even chant it in the building. There were no threats. There was no violence. This was not an armed insurrection. People didn't show up with guns and weapons.
And bear spray and chemical spray and helmets and flak jackets. No, that did not happen. There were not caches and scores of guns stashed all around the city of Madison. That did not happen. There was no conspiracy, right? There was no seditious conspiracy. No convictions of seditious conspiracy has happened during the Trump coup. So, yeah, it's a little different.
Well, Dom, singing grannies, not exactly the same as Proud Boys. Not at all the same.
The Proud Boys, who the AP reported, a couple days ago, that they failed to carry out their quote-unquote revolution.
That's a real insurrection. They were charged with seditious conspiracy.
Convicted of seditious conspiracy, at least some of them, and hopefully more.
You and I were arrested for our supposed conduct at the, singing protest in the Wisconsin State Capitol in July of 2013. Our charges were breaking an administrative code and a $200.50 ticket, which were overturned in the Dane County, district court, and upheld on unanimous appeal in the appellate court of the state of Wisconsin in a precedent-setting fashion. We fought back the fascist dictator wannabe here in the state of Wisconsin, and Dom, you showed up as a credentialed press, and they arrested your dumb ass anyways.
I know, because I was just looking too cool, I guess.
So you eventually, through the federal courts, sued the Walker administration, the Department of Justice, and the DOA. And effectively, they settled for $75,000, but they did stiff you on the two mason jars of green M&Ms.
One peanut, one plane. I'm still waiting.
844-967-2789. We're not waiting. We're getting to the Friday grievances, like Eileen from Madison. Welcome, Eileen. What do you got for us?
Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Well, actually, it's not a grievance. I'm congratulating you on all the radio programs that you've done, and it's just coincidental that you were blasting Walker a little while ago. I've been listening to you since the Walker era, and I just wanted to congratulate you also on the Paul Fanlon Cap Times article, full-page article about all of the radio programs that you started. And your coordination here with Sage, I don't know if it's Wheel
Wild.
Or Wild. I heard
Wild.
Yeah. Okay, because I heard the program the other day, and he's just kind of a laid-back person, it seems.
He truly is.
I remember early on, when Walker was running, and your program was probably the highlight of my day because everything else was so drab about him. And you just kept saying that there was no progressive radio programming in the northern part of the state, and it was so necessary to do it. And after all this time, and well, I do have to say, Dom wasn't mentioned in the article at all, and I was wondering about that.
That's why I keep a low profile, Eileen. I let Crudy take all the hits.
But I could hear the elation in your voice when you were describing all the various programs, all the opening up of the other side of the story. And if I don't know if anybody else reads the Cap Times insert, it's only available on Wednesdays in the State Journal.
Well, Eileen, let me correct you. It's separately distributed around the Madison area, and it's been on the digital number 3 story of the week. Come back. More Devils.
If Ben and I had organized that, we would have won. Not to mention, it would have been armed.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocate.
Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I actually anticipated pairing this song with a story we'll get to perhaps in this segment. A couple of quick thoughts, though. Programming notes, if you will. Since we're talking about the protest days, the uprising, right here in the great state of Wisconsin, your favorite protester, don't forget, Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. It's back on the airwaves Friday evening, 7 o'clock, right here. So listen on Mad Radio, WMDX. Also, don't forget, we got the big extra sharp weekends right here, all across the Civic Media Network. We got Raised in the Wisco at 11 o'clock in most markets. That's Joel Clayfish's hunting, shooting,
eating,
cooking, eating show. We've got the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens playing out noon all across the network. And we got Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. The replay, 1 o'clock tomorrow, and a brand new live program, 8 to 9 a.m. on WAUK and all across the network, WISS, WGBW, Earl with Gilbert Brown, a new one, Monday morning. But this show, this one's live, man. We can't just promote other people. Got to talk about the greatest radio show ever, some people say, and it's the Friday edition, so we're airing the grievances, and we're going to need your participation in multiple forms. One, grievances, they're welcome, but two, we got to give Trump a DJ name, man. Thursday nights down at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's getting out 2 turntables and a microphone, I understand.
I'm a loser, baby.
You know,
oh, come on, Trump. I mean, really, literally, Trump. Just a little bit here from the Raw story. Page 6 reported Friday, former president now has a regular gig as a DJ at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Trump is officially DJing every Thursday night, a source told the publication. The source further added that Trump sits at his table with an iPad where he lines up tunes such as Celine Dion's hit song from the Titanic while he eats. He's DJing and eating. DJ. So what's his stage name, man? What's his DJ? What's the performance? So I mean, I got one here, Curdy. I got Sir Lies-a-Lot, huh? Right? And I got my favorite, Seditious D.
Oh. I like something like MC Griff's a lot. You know,
see,
what?
That's where we're getting to, right? That's the point. What's the best name? What is the proper? What's the most amusing? What's the most sad name we can give DJ Seditious D?
You realize, Dom, my first unofficial college job. I guess my first official college job was being the manager of the football team. But my second job, yeah, only for the 1 year, work-study job, just through football season.
Yeah.
But my other job was DJing down on 3rd Street in La Crosse, in God's country, where all the alcoholics used to gather together on one street, like the highest per capita drunken street in America, I think, this side of Munich. They got the Oktoberfest. Occasionally, they got the Coon Creek things going on, Dom. But I used to DJ at two places. One at Cheers, which was nothing like the Cheers from the TV show.
No, not at all.
This was like a dance club Cheers. I was the DJ at Cheers. And then occasionally, I'd get called in to do teen dances down at the Silver Bullet. But I was a DJ of sorts, Tom, and I actually had a DJ off a video screen. Like, you know, Val Palin, the owner of this joint, both joints, had apparently invested a lot of money in these 3/4-inch videotape videos, you know, back when MTV was a thing.
Right.
So I would have to not just pick the music, but for the vast majority of the evening, I'd have to pick the video of the music and play that, and then I'd have to work the smoke machine, you know, and then you turn on the laser lights on the beats. And I'd always like to think of myself as sort of MC.
Right, so you were playing the music. Were you adding to it? You know, was there a
oh,
a
you know box? I was.
was there a...
No beatboxing. There was zero beatboxing. I mean, occasionally...
It's one thing for Trump to just grab an iPad and play Celine Dion.
That's not really DJing, right?
No. I mean, DJ Shauna from the Bucks, I mean, she is awesome, and that is not what she does at all.
Well, I was probably, sadly, at least in the dance clubs, I was probably closer to Trump than to an actual DJ, and here's why. Because often, I'd be hammer drunk on the job.
I mean, you're working a bar, right?
I was working in a bar. I was 19 years old. The drinking age is 21. And I figured if I, you know, beyond like 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, I was super cool. Hey, you know, tip your bartenders and waitresses. And don't forget our drink special, 2-for-1 on fish bowls or whatever it was.
Right, for $3.
But like 2:30 in the morning, by bar time, I'd be like, hey, can't stay here. Go home. Bar time. Go home, people. I wouldn't want to talk on the microphone. I didn't want to expose fat tongue drunken crudy because I was often schnookered on the job, Dom. It's kind of how I learned a work ethic, getting drunk on the job. Much like your work experience.
Still showing up, baby. Get the job done.
844-967-2789.
Did you take a moniker? Did you take a name?
No,
DJ
Crudy? I didn't.
No, none of that. Okay. All right. So when you didn't introduce yourself? I mean, would you say, hey, I'm Crudy? What was there no introduction? It was just, hey, welcome to the bar and here's the special. How'd you play it, man?
I just play the music. Just keep it bumping.
Who's your hype guy, man?
Do you remember that one night we did the presentation at the comedy event in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure what the comedian after us, he was very furry, had long hair, a beard, wore a dress, and he was funny as hell. But I gave a little presentation, and you were there. And I can't say that I was much more sober than the old Silver Bullet days. Yeah. But I would tell this story about, you know, radio, because it's all I ever care about. You know, I see the world through the prism of talk radio often. And I was telling the story of Devil Radio and the Devil's Advocates and whatever. And I'm wearing my baseball cap and I'm telling it. And then Dom was, you know, mostly there just to say, yeah, hell yeah, or whatever. He was being quite supportive in his role. And then this comedian comes out after us and he says, man, those guys are like the public enemy of talk. That first guy is like Chuck D, he's doing all the talking. And that second guy comes out and just goes, yeah, boy. And I thought it was quite funny.
I guess I'm the hype guy.
If you were not hyping me, Dom, I'd be nothing. I'd be pedestrian like most other radio hosts. 844-967-2789. Our friend OG Claire, she's got a moniker. Welcome, Claire.
Hey, you got Claire.
You got a Hi, DJ Dad. Name for DJT?
Yeah, you ready for this? DJ Rump.
Rump?
DJ Lump?
Rump!
Rump, DJ Rump.
Yes.
OG Claire, do you like big bucks? Because I cannot lie, he's got a big ass.
Yeah, I know.
It might be the depends. It's hard to tell. Claire. I mean, allegedly.
I think he's just a thick-butted guy. You know, some people carry their weight in their hips and backside. I don't have that problem. I can't even keep jeans up most days.
Go to suspenders. They're sexy anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just thinking no pants, but, you know, better wait for warmer weather for that, Claire. You got a political grievance? Or
I I do.
Okay.
If anybody was paying attention, the Dan Kelly ads that you guys ran on your station mentioned freedom.
Freedom!
Freedom! Sarah Huckabee Sanders stressed freedom in her little speech after President Biden. And I remember Scott Walker was big on talking about freedom.
Especially when he was trying to run for governor after the...
President. His inauguration speech in 2015, all he did was say the word freedom over and over.
It was terrible.
So my question is to the Republicans, okay, what freedoms are we talking about? The freedom to ban books?
Yes.
The freedom to carry an AR-15 into schools?
I mean, it's America's rifle.
Right. Freedom to control women's bodies?
Absolutely. Barefoot and pregnant.
I mean, if you can't do that, it's almost not even worth being a Republican.
Exactly. Freedom to turn over election results?
Well, you can certainly try, and they did.
Yes, they did. And freedom to have an armed, I stress, armed insurrection.
Well, it was more of a touristy outing. People staying within the velvet ropes. Yeah. Good patriotic people.
Yes, they were patriots, Claire.
There was such a warm feeling in the crowd that day, at least the crowd that hung out with Ron Johnson, apparently. The Hang Mike Pencers, they were apparently hiding from Ron.
Yeah, they were just tourists, right?
Except the ones trying to hang Mike Pence. They were less touristy.
That's all I got, guys.
That's all, Claire. That's all we need, Claire. Just
appreciate it.
Your Friday grievances. That was pretty good. That was a good call from you, Claire. 844-967-2789. Now, others may be afraid to call because Claire just set a fairly high standard. Don't call with that weak stuff.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring it.
Especially
come heavy
Friday
or don't come
edition.
At all, man. That's how it rolls here. 844-967-2789. Oh, we got to come up. I want to hear some names, man. DJ Trump, man. He could really lead on this career, right? I mean, as he got older, it gets a little tough to do some of the old things. And you know, Trump wasn't one for, you know, manual labor, to my understanding. So this might be something he could do in his waning years in his prison cell, for example. Maybe he can get out in the yard and, you know, somebody can sell his mattress for a couple of turntables and, you know, really, really do something nice for the other fellow convicts.
I'm not going there. 844-967-2789. Ryan, I think our first Connecticut caller. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
awesome.
Ryan.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I've been listening to you guys for a long time here. Dom, I love the haircut, man. Them glasses. That's me. Let me tell you what. My mom loves them. Just another question here for you. So basically about 5 years ago, I had my penis cut off, and I wanted to put it in my mouth and then shove it in my ass, but I didn't really.
All right. Appreciate that. 844-967-2789.
I think he's one of your fans.
It's entirely possible. I mean, I have all sorts of fans out there. Brian from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Brian.
I'm not sure I can follow that up.
I don't think you need to, Brian.
My grievance doesn't seem so bad now.
What's yours?
I have a devil radio grievance.
Uh-oh. What is it, Brian?
And I was wondering, why do I have to wait 6 minutes of commercials to hear you guys at 4 o'clock?
Because we don't start till 4:06 officially.
It's been all day waiting for you guys, and I got to wait 6 minutes of commercials to finally hear the devil heads or whatever.
You know, Brian, my father used to tell me it builds character.
Right. I used to tell my daddy, I want it now, daddy.
it's your time and you want it now?
That's right.
Was your daddy J.G. Wentworth?
Something like that. Brian, you got a political grievance?
Nothing new out of the ordinary. I very much dislike people named Ron Johnson. I only know one. and I was really happy about the voter turnout the other day.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to next month.
Oh, awesome, man. Me too. Me too, Brian.
What's next month? Next month is March.
March is next. March is next week. Come on, man. April. The election in April. The prior, the general election in April. That's what he's talking about.
We got some partying days in March, baby. We got St. Patty's Day. We see your beautiful little girl turn into a voting age adult woman.
18. Can't believe it.
Between now and the primaries, damn. Oh, general election.
Yes, yes.
Quite exciting.
Get it right.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your Friday grievances. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Got just one DJ that matters, DJ E-Bone. You are in control. What was that? What was that music? Can't hear you. DJ that can't turn on his own microphone is not much of a DJ, son. No, we're not getting to E-Bone. I don't know what's going on. DJ E-Bone, he's blocked out, Tom. We are going to need his help here in just a minute, and we need your help as well. We're airing Friday grievances. We're taking the suggestions for naming the former president of the United States. He is now a DJ.
Every Thursday at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, hell, he hired himself at his own place.
That almost makes the buffet price of $59.95 worth it, I suspect. Playing the Celine Dion songs.
The greatest hits.
All the greatest hits, Tom. What about YMCA? He likes to play that one and kind of do the white man shuffle.
The weird dance that he was doing after, as he was losing his frickin' mind at the end of that election. Yeah, that was different.
The dancing's the only thing that kept him sane, Tom.
I don't know if that would be considered sane.
844-967-2789. Dan from Madison. Welcome, Dan. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how about the dumpster trumpster?
The dumpster, DJ dumpster trumpster.
That's perfect, man.
That's fairly clever, Dan.
I don't think it's that great, but...
I got to be honest with you, Dan. I don't think it's that great, but pretty clever.
Come on, it's a dumpster fire, man. I mean, this is exactly what we've been dealing with this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no seditious but it's pretty good, Dan.
Oh, that is a good one. I just got joined in, so I didn't hear that one. That was good.
Dan, what about political grievances this fine Friday afternoon? That's the typical tradition. You got one for us?
Yeah. Here's my grievance. My grievance would be that we still don't have ranked choice voting, because if we had ranked choice voting, the state Supreme Court election would have only happened once. Instead, we're going to do it again.
Well,
we don't need to have a primary general. We could.
Oh, shoot, Dan. We like your ideas, man, but we're try it again. Keep talking. Wouldn't need a primary, just a general, if we had ranked choice voting. I think that's what we heard.
That's right. If we had ranked choice voting, we could have done it one time. We wouldn't have to do a primary to pick the top two and then have them go at it again.
What about, would you set a threshold? Like, you got to reach 50%. The state of Georgia does that. They have those runoffs. If no one reaches 50%. Now, Protus Sewitz, 46%. She was clearly the winner. But hell, Dan Kelly's had over 50% in prior primaries when there were multiple liberal candidates. And Dan, unfortunately, I'm not sure if we would want that. Dan, sorry, man, your phone's dropping in and out on us. But can you imagine that circumstance? Dan Kelly, in a prior primary, won by over 50% and then went to the general election and lost to Jill Karofsky by 163,000 votes. The primary bore very little resemblance to the outcome of the general. Same thing came true with Chris Abley in the county executive race in Milwaukee. If I remember correctly, Chris Larson, still State Senator Chris Larson, ran for county executive, beat him in the primary, and then, of course, ably turned up the money spigot during the general and, you know, kept his seat as long as he wanted it for until he chose to step away. So I'm just saying. Primaries are not the same as the general.
No doubt. But ranked choice voting, I think, is something. I think what Alaska does it now too. There, I mean, it's starting to get some traction. I'd like to see more of it. I don't know that you can get away from, you know, the partisan primaries by doing that. Perhaps you could use it during the partisan primaries and then also during the general. But I like the idea.
Well, as long as you like it.
Well, yeah.
I like the idea of ranked choice voting as well. I just think we cannot project the outcome of the primary and say if it had been ranked choice, it would have been precisely the same. I mean, it would have been a different circumstance, perhaps a differing outcome. You know what I want to sneak out there? We got a fine guest coming soon. Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn, our Friday friend often. But Don, before we get there, I gotta air a grievance on behalf of a guy. I know you occasionally imitate him, mock him. But today is a sad day for the Alex Jones family. The InfoWars guy. Yeah. You know, he's in the bankruptcy proceedings right now because, of course, he's lost over $1.5 billion to the Sandy Hook families. That part doesn't make me sad a bit. But apparently in the bankruptcy court filings, the court is questioning the family's ownership of a very expensive asset that happens to be an overpriced house cat. And apparently it's being insinuated that Alex Jones may have to turn in this multi-thousand-dollar cat as part of the asset award. And Alex Jones is taking it kind of personally and stood up today with his sort of... His cat didn't seem very willing to participate in this particular video segment.
It was a big cat, though. I mean, it was a large kitten.
Well, when you're... a big cat like Alex Jones, you need a big cat. So play it for the people. A sad story on behalf of Alex Jones and his family cat.
The deal's broke. You guys aren't getting the cat.
The deal's broke. He says the government effectively wants to take his cat as an asset. And it's a family cat, Dom. And, you know, it was a longer video. That's probably about the appropriate amount of quoting.
Yes, I mean, I'm Alex not a big Jones. Fan of playing any Alex Jones.
But, I will eat your ass.
Oh my God! Right, this guy. You know, I'm torn a little bit, right? Because I love animals, and I do have my family we have a cat right now. I love that cat, and so I understand how people can, you know, certainly become, you know, close to their pets. Now, Alex Jones being Alex Jones, I'm wondering how the mental health of the kitten is because he's Alex Jones, and anyone that has to be around that. You know, it's one thing that you know, volunteer and willingly tune in the crazy, but, you know, that poor cat, that cat's got no choice. It must be there. It has to be. That relies on Alex Jones to live. So I'm a little torn. Certainly you don't want to see people lose their pet, but this is Alex Jones. Probably doesn't treat the pet as great as that pet needs to be treated. But you never know. Maybe he just likes, you know, animals more than he likes humans because he certainly doesn't like the families of Sandy Hook.
So, is your conclusion that the family cat should be seized as an asset to be liquidated in the bankruptcy filing?
I wouldn't liquidate the cat. I would remove the cat and you know, mark it in the ledger as for whatever value it's on it. You know,
multiple thousand dollars, man.
Well, if that was Trump's cat, he'd be saying it was worth like $2 billion, man.
Depending on the mood of the cat. You know, cats can be quite moody. They're worth more when they're in a good mood, but that's a rare thing. Come back. Devil's Advocates will keep you in a good mood. That won't be rare. We got Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. We'll put a smile on your face. The happier happy hour, the Friday edition. It rolls on.
I will eat your ass.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.